Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of The Heart of the Matter. It's nice to be with you today. Some months ago, a Christian man, a husband, a father, wrote a letter to me telling of how his daughter had become involved in Youth with a Mission. We'll afterwards refer to it by the acronym YWAM. And in fact, his daughter went off to one of YWAM's youth discipleship training schools. Now, this brother had subsequently found out what YWAM is really like, and he regretted ever allowing his daughter to become involved in the organization, and he brought her back home. He rescued her, in truth. At that time, he encouraged me to do an in-depth program on YWAM, and now we're finally getting around to doing it. Now, when I say this will be an in-depth program, I have to confess there's going to be much left untold. There'll be a lot more left untold than there is told. This is a big issue. We have these two dedicated Christian workers in our church who work at a secular job but who also do ministry work, including much research for programs such as this one on YWAM. Well, when they began to present to me written and video documentation from YWAM's official websites, it soon became apparent that YWAM is a very deep pit of apostasy. I knew YWAM was bad, but I have to admit, I didn't know the half of it. That's not to say there are not many, many well-meaning, idealistic young people involved in the organization, but those young people have been deceived by the false brethren who lead them. Now, for the record, YWAM is currently operating in more than 1,000 locations in over 180 countries with a staff of over 18,000. This is a very far-reaching, influential organization. YWAM is influential both in the lives of thousands of young people who are trained by YWAM through the organization's DTS, discipleship training schools, and by YWAM's University of the Nations, and then go on to labor with YWAM short-term and long-term, but it is also influential among multitudes of unbelievers around the world, and, of course, influential with regard to churches in nations where Christianity is very much in the minority, and in some cases is a persecuted minority. And finally, YWAM is influential in what are sometimes called third world nations. Quite frankly, YWAM is just very influential, is what I'm trying to say, right across the board, with a certain amount of evangelicals, and especially young people, and certainly with unbelievers, and then with these Christians and developing churches in third world countries. Quite frankly, YWAM is creating a false church. YWAM is corrupting individuals, but creating a false church as well, and even corrupting churches that now exist. After poring over the documentation on YWAM, the scripture which comes to mind quickly is Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I've asked Reverend Andy Foster, the pastor of Penticton Free Presbyterian Church, Penticton, British Columbia, to help me out with this look at YWAM. He's going to be handling YWAM and Romanism, as well as YWAM and the Orality Movement. I'll be taking up several other aspects of YWAM. Now, for the sake of getting in as much information as possible, we're not going to have a normal give and take today. Rather, we're each going to present all the facts we can on the specific topics we have in the time we have. Now, what we're doing here today is providing listeners with solid documentation concerning a very great evil. And speaking for myself, with all the facts I have to get in, I'm not going to be able to explain each error, organization, or movement mentioned or examine all things in the light of scriptures. I would imagine that's probably the way it's going to be with my brother, Andy Foster, as well. This particular Heart of the Matter edition is not meant as a time of teaching, but really it's just going to be a simple documentary expose of a very corrupt worldwide ministry organization. It is, in brief, a warning for those with ears to hear. Let's begin by hearing what Reverend Foster has to say about YWAM and Romanism.
In the course of the broadcast today, we're going to be concentrating upon Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, as it's more commonly known. My purpose is to look at two particular aspects of YWAM's work, first in relation to the Church of Rome, and then a little later in the broadcast we're going to look at the subject of orality. We'll look at that a little later in the broadcast, but we're going to begin with YWAM's relationship with the Church of Rome. This, of course, is always a touchstone for the discerning believer in determining whether an organization is faithful to the Word of God or not. It's one of those important markers that you should look for in determining the nature of an organization that claims to be Christian. So we're going to look then, in this first part of the broadcast, at YWAM and the Church of Rome. But first, let's have a little history lesson, just a quick review of what YWAM is and where it came from. Youth with a Mission all began way back in 1956, when a 20-year-old American college student named Lauren Cunningham was in the Bahamas. Leaning back on his bed, he claims that he saw what he describes as a mental movie. There he saw a map of the world with waves spilling over it, and those waves eventually turned into young people, thousands of them, spilling onto every continent and country in the world to share the good news about Christ. 4 years later, YWAM was founded in 1960. Now, Cunningham's original aim was to offer young people from various churches the chance to take part in international evangelistic outreach during their school holidays, their vacation time. And the concept caught on quickly, and by the beginning of the 1970s, there were YWAM ministry centers in various parts of the world. But with the growth of YWAM, there came opportunities to minister to and alongside different church groups of various kinds, and that, of course, brought them into contact with the Church of Rome. Now, this is what YWAM has to say about itself. We live in over 180 nations. We like to work with friends and multicultural teams, celebrating the diversity of our different experiences, languages, and perspectives. We come from many different Christian traditions. We love to get together and worship God using our different expressions. We are all committed to growing in our understanding of who Jesus is and how he wants us to love and serve the people of the world. YWAM is now one of the largest interdenominational and international Christian missions, currently working in more than 1,000 locations in 180 countries with a staff of over 18,000. So YWAM is quite a force upon the world stage of missions. And it has been the means of motivating many tens of thousands of young people to go on these short-term missions in the name of Christianity, supposedly presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're going to concentrate particularly on the history of Roman Catholic involvement in YWAM. The doors of opportunity opened to YWAM in Roman Catholic countries fairly early in its history. And by the early 1990s, YWAM had an ever-increasing amount of ministry with Catholic groups and also a growing number of Catholics working on staff in some of their ministry centers. And what that led to was that they had to address a very critical question. How could YWAM create space in this predominantly Protestant mission for Catholics to participate in YWAM's calling and at the same time remain rooted in their church, that is the Catholic Church, and fully able to express their Catholic faith? That was the issue that came to face the YWAM organization. Now, that key issue was resolved in 1992 when an international group of 35 Catholic and Protestant YWAM leaders met in Dublin in the summer of 1992 to examine that question. How are we going to make room for Roman Catholic young people in our organization to fully express their Roman Catholic faith and remain rooted in their church? This Dublin consultation on evangelism in the Catholic world laid the groundwork for what eventually became Kerygma Teams that launched in 1996. Now, we're going to have more to say about Kerygma Teams in just a moment or two. Their name has since been changed simply to Kerygma, which is a Greek word related to the proclamation of the gospel and the gospel itself. And what Kerygma, as an organization, aims to do is to foster ongoing renewal efforts within the Roman Catholic Church. Now, here are some comments from a man called Bruce Cluett, actually the co-founder of Kerygma Teams, along with Rob Clark, a Roman Catholic from YWAM, Ireland. Together they formed the Kerygma Teams, and here he explains just what Kerygma is.
Hi, my name is Bruce Cluett, and I'm one of the leaders of Kerygma Teams. Let me tell you a little bit about Kerygma Teams. Kerygma Teams is a branch of the Interconfessional Missions, Lay Missions Organization, Youth of the Mission, and it's a work that works predominantly in what we call the Catholic world. We're right now in about 10 nations on 5 continents, and we're involved in getting Catholic young people out in evangelization, in crossing the cultural divide to reach people that haven't ever heard the gospel before. We're involved in some kinds of evangelistic formation as well as discipleship training. We're also involved then in doing works of mercy, helping the poor. We're involved in other kinds of lay leadership training programs as well.
The Kerygma Teams organization and structure is solidly Roman Catholic, and yet you've just heard it described as being an integral part, a branch of YWAM. Now we're going to develop a little more here, some of the information about Kerygma. Let me just give you this little snippet of information. It's a quote from one of the Kerygma Team's websites. Kerygma Teams are a self-governing transnational ministry within Youth with a Mission. Within Youth with a Mission, Kerygma Teams has been granted permission to develop its own organizational structures and lines of leadership. End of quote. In other words, Kerygma Teams, a Roman Catholic structure, has been licensed at the highest level within YWAM to pursue its own Roman Catholic agenda as it sees fit. And YWAM's quite happy with that. Listen to some of the statements that are made in a Kerygma Team's mission statement. And remember, YWAM becomes an accessory to this mission because Kerygma falls within its own organizational structure. The statements made by Kerygma are statements that can be directly attributed to the overall YWAM organization. Kerygma Teams is committed to helping foster new lay missions movement among Catholics by challenging Catholic laity, and in particular the youth, to become actively involved in world missions. It speaks of re-evangelization of the Catholic world. In other words, making them better Roman Catholics, getting them back to Mother Church, back to the doctrines of the Church of Rome. This would not only involve communicating the basic gospel message, or what they call kerygma, but also helping to build new Catholic and ecumenical communities and fellowship groups. The mission statement goes on to say, Kerygma Teams is committed to spread a vision for true spiritual unity among Christian leaders and groups, and to demonstrate this through collaborative Christian projects that cross national, cultural, and church lines. What it boils down to is that it is an official part of YWAM's mission to make Roman Catholics better adherents to the Church of Rome. That is what YWAM's ministry, in part, has become. Now, the Kerygma Teams are very careful to tell us that their operation is in line with the Vatican II decree by Pope Paul VI on the apostolate of the laity. In other words, it's part of the mission of lay Roman Catholics to go out and spread the faith. They have been authorized by Vatican II to go and to spread Roman Catholic doctrine. And part of the statement of that Vatican II decree on the apostolate of the laity that is cited by the Kerygma Teams indicates that these young people are encouraged to go to non-believers with a view to leading them to faith, or to the faithful with a view to instructing, strengthening, and encouraging them to a more fervent life. That's the official teaching of the Church of Rome that Kerygma Teams operates under. They're going to non-believers, i.e. non-Roman Catholics, to get them to the Roman Catholic faith, and they're dealing with already professing Roman Catholics to strengthen, encourage, and instruct them to a more fervent spiritual life within the Church of Rome. So that's the mission that YWAM has associated itself with in the deepest and fullest way. Now, we've touched on the fact that part of Kerygma's mission is to emphasize reconciliation. This is what they say. We support initiatives of reconciliation between the Christian churches. As paradoxical as it sounds, Kerygma Teams has a primary call to support initiatives of reconciliation between the Christian churches. Kerygma Teams, notice this, desires to be a bridge between Catholics and members of other churches. In reality, that bridge is a one-way street. It's a bridge back to Rome. Here's another little snippet that appeared on kerygmatexas.com. Protestants stepping in the Catholic world. We in Kerygma see the value of Protestants learning about and working with their Catholic brothers and sisters. There is so little understanding of the Catholic faith. Protestants need to go beyond their fears and step out, watch, serve, listen, and learn. Now let me play you a clip just from a couple of the leaders of Kerygma Teams in the United States.
Hi, we're Alan and Lori Harris. We lead the ministry of YWAM Kerygma Texas. We are a bridge ministry. We bridge the Protestant and the Catholic worlds. We bridge YWAM and the Catholic world.
As a branch of Youth with a Mission, Kerygma works to disciple and evangelize all people. Our special gift is to work within the Catholic world.
So here is a branch of Youth with a Mission that openly describes itself as a bridge to Rome. That's what these Kerygma Teams within YWAM are all about. So YWAM, therefore, is openly ecumenical. Now, one of the documents that YWAM subscribes to is the Lausanne Covenant. The International Congress of World Evangelization at Lausanne in 1974 produced the Lausanne Covenant. It's a manifesto of ecumenism and new evangelicalism that refuses to separate from false doctrine. Now, while it was originally drawn up by Protestant evangelicals, and many to this day subscribe to it, it's obviously a document that can be interpreted by YWAM and by many other signatories as allowing them to work in full cooperation with the Church of Rome. YWAM gives lay people the opportunity to grow in their faith through training and then put it into action through short-term missions locally and globally. Kerygma works in the Catholic world. We utilize the evangelization and discipleship opportunities of YWAM to unite the whole body of Christ in an ecumenical, cooperative way. That's from the Kerygma Teams Network Facebook page. This is what this movement is about. It's about promoting ecumenical union with the Church of Rome. Now, this is a view that's shared by the YWAM leadership. YWAM has become a tool in the hand of Rome to be utilized for her own purposes. Now, the ecumenical emphasis of YWAM was seen recently at a conference held in Dublin in February of this year, European Leaders Conference. Featured various Roman Catholic figures, Roman Catholic Church figures, and Kerygma Team leaders. One of the prominent speakers was Nicky Gumbel of the Alpha Course movement, an Anglican. But who was there? Lynn Green, former international chairman and now part of the global eldership of YWAM. Another prominent Roman Catholic, Charles Whitehead, heavily involved in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal movement in the United Kingdom, and a papal knight as well, was there, along with Bruce Cluett, who we've already heard from, the joint founder of the Kerygma Teams. Now, the theme of the conference was courageous leadership. They looked at a number of subjects, a number of focuses: Christian reconciliation, evangelization, lay leadership, and youth ministry. It was a predominantly Roman Catholic conference, organized in part by an Irish Catholic organization called Tyne, and there was YWAM, right in the middle of it, one of the most prominent individuals of its current leadership, addressing that conference and working in full cooperation with Rome to advance the cause of what they call Christian reconciliation, evangelization, and youth ministry. Now, what is the ecumenical strategy of Rome? It's important for us to understand this. Many Protestants don't recognize this, you know. There are many professing Christians that think that it's just wonderful that the Church of Rome should want to work with Protestant churches. But in fact, Rome is utterly disingenuous in her ecumenical activity. Let me read you a little bit from another Vatican II document, the Decree on Ecumenism. Here's the quote. Nevertheless, our separated brethren, that's what they call Protestants, our separated brethren, whether considered as individuals or as communities and churches, are not blessed with that unity which Jesus Christ wished to bestow on all those who through him were born again into one body, and with him quickened to newness of life, that unity which the Holy Scriptures and the ancient tradition of the Church proclaim. Now listen to this. For it is only through Christ's Catholic Church, which is the all-embracing means of salvation, that they can benefit fully from the means of salvation. We believe that our Lord entrusted all the blessings of the new covenant to the apostolic college alone, of which Peter is the head, in order to establish the one body of Christ on earth, to which all should be fully incorporated who belong in any way to the people of God. The present Pope Benedict in 2007 published a document that stated that Protestant denominations, which he called Christian communities born out of the Reformation, are not true churches, but ecclesiastical communities because they don't have a sacramental priesthood, and therefore cannot, according to Catholic doctrine, be called churches in the proper sense. You see, when Rome engages Protestant organizations in ecumenical activity, what she's doing is working to fully integrate them back into Rome. Now that is the agenda that YWAM is facilitating and advancing, particularly through its kerygma teams. Now, kerygma teams describe themselves as ecumenical, but with a Catholic ethos. We endeavor to maintain an ethos, or atmosphere, they say, in our teams, which encourages Catholic members to live out their Catholic faith. And so they have Catholic speakers in their training programs, they maintain ties with church hierarchy and diocesan structures, they observe the Catholic Church year, and they study important Catholic Church documents. Now, let me ask you a question. Just how Catholic is this ethos? Some might have the idea, well, it's a very toned-down kind of Roman Catholicism that we could almost live with. Well, I don't think any Bible believer can live with any degree of Roman Catholicism and its false doctrine, but here is a form of Catholicism that you can very easily verify by looking at some of the Kerygma team's websites. That is full-blooded popish superstition. There are masses, penance, confession, Mariolatry, all of the sacraments, they're all there. Let me share this with you. On the Facebook page of Kerygma Teams Network America, there's a photo album. You can go to it and check it out. A photo album of a monstrance. You know what a monstrance is? It's one of those ornate devices that the Church of Rome uses to display and protect the consecrated mass wafer. And it carries this caption, quote, "With Jesus Christ at Youth with a Mission," a Youth with a Mission event. Now, in previous photographs, there's been all kinds of people identified so-and-so at Youth with a Mission. And here's this picture. It's tagged to highlight the actual mass wafers in the picture when you click on the Jesus Christ in the caption. And the statement is, "Here's Jesus Christ in the form of Rome's mass wafer at Youth with a Mission." It's a blasphemy. And yet, that's the kind of thing that Youth with a Mission has become involved with. Now, Roman Catholic cooperation with YWAM doesn't happen without the highest sanction of the Church of Rome. Roman Catholic individuals and organizations aren't just free to associate with whoever they please, but Kerygma teams have the sanction of some high figures in the Church of Rome. I'm going to play you a little clip of the comments of Bishop Corrado, Roman Catholic Bishop of Tyler, Texas, who sent personal representation and personal greetings to the International Gathering of YWAM's K-Teams Global Representatives in June 2011. K-Teams and their role within YWAM are fully supported by the Church of Rome. They see no threat to her interests or to her mission from anything that YWAM represents. Instead, they see YWAM as a means to advancing her own ends.
I'm Bishop Alvaro Corrada, the Bishop of the Diocese of Tyler in Texas in the United States. I am with you in prayers in my heart because the Holy Spirit gathers us together for this wonderful experience of the Kerygma teams, the global gathering.
So there's the imprimatur of a bishop on the work of Kerygma within YWAM. Now, developing this thought of the Catholic ethos of these kerygma teams, let me just play you some clips, a series of clips here, on comments made by a priest, Albert McPherson. They're published on K-Team's Texas website. You can listen to them yourself. Here's just a couple of clips to indicate how Catholic this all is. First, some comments on the Mass.
St. Pope Pius X said that devotion to the Eucharist is the noblest of devotions because it has God as its object. It is the most profitable for salvation because it gives us the author of grace. It is the sweetest because the Lord is sweetness itself. And the great St. Thomas Aquinas said that when Jesus took our flesh, he dedicated the whole of its substance to our salvation. He offered his body to God the Father on the altar of the cross as a sacrifice for our reconciliation. He shed his blood for our ransom and purification so that we might be redeemed from our wretched state of bondage and cleansed from all sin. But to ensure that the memory of so great a gift would abide with us forever, he left his body as food and his blood as drink for the faithful to consume in the form of bread and wine.
Here's a comment about Mary.
Pius X proclaimed Our Lady Guadalupe patroness of all Latin America, Pius XII empress of all the Americas. So we are indebted to the Mexican people in bringing us Our Lady Guadalupe.
Or what about some holy salt and holy water?
I noticed a lot of you brought your salt and water to be blessed. These are sacramentals. And blessed salt is a powerful sacramental of the Catholic Church. It's an instrument of grace to preserve one from the corruption of evil, occurring as sin, sickness, demonic influence, etc. As in the case of all sacramentals, its power comes not from the sign itself, but by means of the Church's official, liturgical, not private, prayer of blessing. A power the Church derives from Christ himself.
Now here's a short clip from a video posted on YouTube. It's a spring break Catholic YWAM activity. Listen to what she has to say about the Mass.
They need spiritual enrichment. They are searching for more of the Lord, and we want to make sure that we help them fill that gap.
We've done a lot of teaching this weekend, learning how to hear and discern the voice of God. That doesn't mean just praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That means listening in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We have to learn to listen. God talks. We have to listen.
There can be no real question that the Catholic ethos that Kerygma talks about is full-blooded Roman Catholic doctrine and practice. The videos that are posted of their activities are often set against the background of participation in a Mass. That's central to their Roman Catholic practice. And that's what YWAM has embraced to itself and become associated with. Now, Pastor Overdahl, a little later in the program, is going to touch upon YWAM's links to new monasticism, which again has overtones and flavors of popery from the past coming back in monastic communities. What does all this mean? YWAM's open, heavy involvement with the Church of Rome denies its claim to be a Christian organization. Now, please understand this. The Church of Rome, by nature, is an anti-Christian organization. It's in error on every major doctrine of the faith. The person of Christ, the work of redemption, all of these cardinal truths of salvation, popery is in error on. No believer should be in any doubt whatever on this matter. YWAM is not a Christian adventure for Christian young people. Rather, it's a potent ecumenical tool to advance end-time apostasy as it's found in the Church of Rome. And YWAM is using young people, young professing Christians, although many of them, I have no doubt, are not saved at all, but still in the ignorance and darkness of nature, but professing Christ, going out to advance a false gospel and becoming the means of advancing on biblical union with Rome. I thought of a passage of God's Word, the sad passage, in Acts chapter 7, the verse 19, where Stephen speaks of the delusion of the Israelites in Egypt, where they allowed themselves to be beguiled by Pharaoh to the point that they threw their own children into the river Nile at the king's command that they might not live. Giving young people to YWAM is about as sensible as what Israel did in Egypt when they gave their children willingly their own flesh and blood to die in the river at the command of Pharaoh. The excitement and appeal of a Christian adventure for young people should never overrule the clear biblical warrant to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what popery is. The works of darkness. That's what YWAM has become because of its full engagement with Rome.
That was Reverend Andy Foster, and we appreciate that. I want to next sort of backtrack and add to our general profile of YWAM before then bringing Reverend Foster back to tell us about YWAM and the orality movement, after which then I'll close with YWAM and Islam as well as Hinduism. Now, you're not going to be shocked, probably, to know that YWAM is intimately connected with a number of other deeply corrupted ministries, that is, corrupted doctrinally and spiritually. One such organization, to name just one of many we could name, is the Luzon Movement, started in part by Billy Graham. In fact, YWAM holds to the Luzon Covenant. Now, we have to move along, but in a few words, the Luzon Movement is a gushing fountain of error and corruption affecting mission work and millions throughout the world. You'll also not be shocked to know that YWAM makes use of modern Bible translations, including the most thoroughly mutilated ones. Not surprising, YWAM is very much a part of the charismatic movement. And as is common to the charismatic movement, YWAM plays fast and loose with the Word of God, while at the same time speaking of new, ongoing revelation from God. For instance, listen to this excerpt from Foundational Values of Youth with a Mission. Quote, YWAM is called to be visionary, continually receiving, nurturing, and releasing fresh vision from God. Let me say that again. Continually receiving, nurturing, and releasing fresh vision from God. We believe that the apostolic call of YWAM requires, and it goes on. Now, given that YWAM is charismatic and deeply so, you'll not be surprised to also know the organization boasts and supports women preachers and Bible teachers. Listen to this excerpt from a book written by Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission. The book is titled, Why Not Women? A Fresh Look at Scripture on Women in Missions, Ministry, and Leadership, copyright 2000. In that book, Lauren Cunningham writes, quote, we don't have to reach back years to find outstanding women teachers in the body of Christ. Today, one of the best-known Roman Catholic teachers on television is a woman, Mother Angelica. And where would the prayer movement be without Vonette Bright? That would be the wife of Campus Crusade's Bill Bright. Or Cindy Jacobs. Jack Hayford said that Joy Dawson is perhaps the leading teacher of intercessory prayer of our time, unquote. That was Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission. Of course, we've already seen then in just that quote how deeply ecumenical as well that YWAM is. The Joy Dawson Cunningham speaks of is a longtime YWAM woman teacher who has preached in 55 countries on every continent to date. And in that quote from Cunningham, Lauren Cunningham, YWAM's founder, he spoke of the charismatic preacher Cindy Jacobs. He said, and where would the prayer movement be without Vonette Bright or Cindy Jacobs? Cindy Jacobs is the founder of Generals International. Perhaps some of you remember Cindy Jacobs as one of the driving forces and prominent personalities of the infamous May Day prayer event in Washington, D.C. on the Capitol Mall just a little less than 2 years ago. We aired a special on that ungodly charismatic spectacle on Heart of the Matter. It was a special containing sound bites from the rally. It was broadcast over the internet. I believe this came from the American Family Association live webcast. Here, for instance, is an example of the outstanding leader of the so-called prayer movement, Cindy Jacob, in action.
It is a cry from a generation, for devastation is on our door. Many, many people have had dreams about massive devastation. So you ready? Get ready. Get ready. You ready? You ready up there? Come on. You ready? Ready to wave those flags?
Now, Cindy Jacob says in her book, The Power of Persistent Prayer, one of my special delights was interceding with the great prayer warrior, Joy Dawson. So you have that connection there to Joy Dawson, one of YWAM's senior women preachers. Joy Dawson says in her book, Intimate Fellowship with God, it was last republished in 2008, first published in 1986, quote, from many years of having the great privilege of being linked with Pastor Benny, that is Benny Hinn, in ministry assignments, I have learned to be prepared for the unexpected and unusual, and goes on to talk about her dear friend Benny. Well, with one eye on the clock, we'll just move on by simply reiterating that YWAM is deeply, dangerously charismatic and very much believes in women preachers and Bible teachers. So, if you did not know it before, you know it now. You know that YWAM is a very ecumenical, charismatic ministry, and it includes women preachers and teachers, and of course, is using corrupt Bible translations. I say YWAM ministries and individuals use these corrupt Bible translations. So you'll not be surprised then the next year that rock and roll and rap is also very much a part of YWAM. And we'll just give you a very short example of what YWAM considers apparently reverent worship, worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness then. This is taken from a video posted by YWAM's University of the Nation, specifically the University of the Nation's campus in Kona, Hawaii. It's from their YouTube page. Let's play that.
Monday day worship. Monday morning worship.
Rock and roll and rap music are an integral part of YWAM. The organization is also big on interpretive-type dancing and other performing arts. One YWAM video posted on YouTube is titled YWAM Performing Arts DTS 2006. It's several minutes long, and it shows a large number of young people dressed in various ways, some very immodestly. And there are a number of young girls, young women dressed in camo fatigue pants and white T-shirts doing some sort of a weird avant-garde sort of routine. And there's break dancers. There's all sorts of weird things. This is called performing arts, and it's apparently part of YWAM's ministry effort. Here's just a snippet of the music from that video. YWAM uses the performing arts for evangelism. That's not surprising considering the lack of regard YWAM has for the plain, unadulterated gospel and the sovereign spirit of the Lord in the saving of souls through the preaching of the gospel. Here's a soundbite from YWAM performing arts team at the Enseada Carnival in 2011. This video is found on YWAMmusic.net.
Jump, come in with the hip hop. Jump, 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 jump in with the gospel. Jump, 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 come in with the hip hop. Jump, 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 jumping with the God Squad.
Now, to close out this segment, I want to simply read some information taken off the websites of two YWAM organizations and one non-YWAM organization, which is associated with YWAM. YWAM is also into monasticism, contemplative prayer, and the Roman Catholic mystics. And we'll give you just a little bit of documentation on that. We could, of course, in all these issues, we could give you much more. This first material is taken off of the site of YWAM Axiom, New Haven, Connecticut. It's a YWAM base there. It says, mission statement, we the people of YWAM Axiom are a spiritual community who exists to personally encounter Christ and to translate his life to a postmodern and hurting world. YWAM Axiom strategy, I have some excerpts here, to rediscover and reinterpret elements of historical Christianity so that they might begin a creative and intelligent dialogue with contemporary culture, to become cultural translators, translating the gospel of kingdom through a voice that can be heard and through a language that can be understood. What is our voice? What is this language that can be understood? Acts of compassionate caring, music and the arts, the language of ideas. Then they have some quotes. One is from the Romanist G.K. Chesterton. Then they have a quote from, concerning their ministry philosophy, from Mother Teresa. Then on their value statements, they have a quote from the Roman Catholic mystic St. John of the Cross. And they say, our primary goal is YWAM Axiom is to learn how to love God and each other well. Therefore, we value and protect the following: the development of an authentic Christ-centered community who radically cares for the needs of others, education in both revelational and reasonable aspects of Christianity, an emphasis on developing contemplative lives of prayer, intercession, and adoration while focusing on reaching both the postmodern and hurting world. You're hearing the influence of Romanism here and Roman Catholic mysticism. Here's another one. Excellence in our work, hospitality, and in our communication, partnership with the body of Christ. And finally, multiplication of like-minded works regionally and internationally. And they have also down silent retreats. Let me just read this. Here in the Western world, we often live with cluttered and distracted minds and hearts that have forgotten how to be still and know that He is God. Inside ourselves, we are running all the time, forever ambushed by the tyranny of the urgent, by our busyness and schedules. We are seldom awakened to the fact that every moment and every minute can be lived in the presence of God, alive and aware of His love. Robert Benson tells the story of a four-year-old girl who was overheard whispering into her newborn baby brother's ear, "Baby, tell me what God sounds like. I'm starting to forget." Thus, we believe that the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, coupled with prayer, is a time-tested activity that is an essential means of receiving life-transforming grace and of being disciples of Jesus, not only in word, but also in deed. They're talking about monasticism, and they go on and talk about their retreats and their spiritual disciplines and so on and so forth. In fact, spiritual disciplines, similarly used by the Desert Fathers. These are, they have in quotes, even Christian mystics centuries ago. Well, Roman Catholic mystics, as well as, they say, modern-day contemplatives. So they're right out in the open. This is YWAM, and they finish here with a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. Now, next, we have this from the Prayer Foundation website. According to its website, the Prayer Foundation is, quote, interdenominational, international, evangelical, with over 1,800 volunteers in 43 countries. And they posted this on their website. It says, YWAM Portland, Oregon, Youth with a Mission visits our monastery. Once a month, YWAM Portland has a day of prayer, solitude, and contemplation, and this month we invited them over to have it at our monastery. We shared lunch, our noon daily prayer, praying the hours, and a worship service with communion. Their base leader, Tierney, also asked Monk Preston to teach a class or simply share a prayer, which he was happy to do. Monk Linda expressed it best for all of us when she said that it was a real blessing to have so many young people around who are so into following Christ and being in his service. Our monastery is a large four-story tall house with a backyard of about 3 1/4 acres, and it goes on. And now one more example of this monasticism that YWAM is into. This is from the Celtic Way community. It is another YWAM community in Paisley, Scotland. Our YWAM location has a particular flavor of an incarnational community. They use this a lot, incarnational. They incarnate themselves into various cultures. They incarnate Christ, they say, into this culture or that. Going on, or simply put, life together. Much of our inspiration for this way for living comes from the lives of ancient Celtic saints along with the new monastic communities of today. The word monastic comes from the word monastery and the lifestyle that it implies, a place where men and women alike would come by choice to live their lives set apart for Christ. New monasticism is a relevant expression of the disciplined life modeled to us by groups like the Desert Fathers, the Celtic Saints, and the Moravians. And it goes on and talks about that, how they lived the life of Christ by emptying themselves for the sake of others, and so on and so forth. As the Celtic Way community, we follow a daily rhythm of prayer, study, work, fellowship. Prayer is a cornerstone to our rhythm, just as it was to the Celtic monks. Because it has such a high value, we build our day around it. And since we build our day around it, we continue to give it the value it deserves. Since we also have agreed to prioritize and value work, study, and fellowship, these also make up the base of our days. It is a real privilege to live in a community which prioritizes these things and encourages one another to really take the time for them. Without a rhythm or schedule, it becomes so easy to make excuses not to do things, and it goes on. And it says, through our rhythm, we don't need to feel that work is a higher priority than fellowship. Neither is study more important than pottering time. They may have different times allotted to them, but they are all an important part of our day. A good rhythm is a natural one, like a steady breathing in and out. We breathe in as we spend time with God. We breathe out as we focus on others around us. In time, we hope our rhythm becomes as much a part of us as natural as breathing. Now, my original plan was to do this entire special on YWAM in one Heart of the Matter program. But as I said, and as you're seeing, YWAM is a very deep pit of apostasy. And we're going to have to split this special up into two parts. And quite frankly, in a way, we're only scratching the surface then. But at any rate, we'll sign off now, and we'll pick up where we left off in the next program.